have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
And I'm here. And now it's time for our Faithful Financial Moments with Sister Sharon Richard.
This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Saving for retirement is very important. Unfortunately, while many begin saving for retirement with the best intentions, oftentimes decisions are made which limit the funds available at the time of retirement. As you plan for retirement, please be sure to avoid some of the common mistakes that people make which lessen the value of their retirement portfolio. One common mistake is to not fully take advantage of your employer's 401k plan. If you work for an employer who offers a 401k or other retirement plan with a match program, take advantage of it. This is the best return on your dollar that you will likely find. Another common mistake is taking a loan from your 401k. The money you take out doesn't have the chance to grow and compound like the rest of the money. While you may pay yourself back with interest, it generally doesn't make up for the time lost. Also, if you leave your job before repaying the loan, it may count as a distribution if not paid off in full. This means paying taxes and possibly a stiff early withdrawal penalty. When seeking to save for retirement, it is important to diversify your investments. Unfortunately, I have heard all too often the horror stories of retirement funds being depleted simply because of over-reliance on higher-risk investments, which crashed as the market softened. In seeking to diversify your portfolio, you should balance higher-risk investments such as stocks with more stable options such as bonds. This becomes even more important as we age because the closer you get to your retirement, you will have a shorter period to recover if investments lose value. It is easy to get caught up in your investments when the market is doing well, and chasing those big returns may seem like a good idea. But a properly diversified portfolio will help you minimize your risk while maximizing your return. Many people decide to cash out their employer retirement plan when they leave the company, which is a big mistake. This distribution becomes fully taxable and possibly subject to an additional early withdrawal penalty. When you leave an employer, you should consider rolling the money over into your new employer's plan or an IRA. This will prevent any current taxes or penalties from being assessed. The biggest mistake that you can make is not to save for retirement. So if you have been thinking about it but have not gotten started, don't delay any longer. It is a decision that you will not regret. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by the Pastor's Corner with Bishop-Elect Ernest E. Richard, Jr., Apostle Irvin Whitlow, Apostle Vincent Smith, and Company.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor with this week's Gospel News. Anthony Jabal Brown, born October 22, 1981. He's an American urban contemporary gospel artist and musician whose background singers are called Group Therapy. He started his music career in 2012 with the release of Anthony Brown and Group Therapy on Ty Scott Records. This was a Billboard breakthrough release with chart toppers on the Billboard Top 200 and the Gospel Albums charts, having placements at number 130 on the Billboard Top 200, number 3 on the Gospel Albums charts, and number 19 on the Independent Albums chart. A writer once said that Anthony Brown and Group Therapy's debut album still invokes a fresh and joyous spirit. Gabby Thomas is a famous American track and field athlete. She was born on the 7th of December in 1996 in Atlanta, Georgia. Her real name is Gabrielle Thomas. Her father, Desmond Thomas, and her mother, Jennifer Randall. Her twin brother's name is Andrew Thomas. Gabby Thomas is a career athlete in track and field. Initially, she used to play softball. Thomas was inspired by physics to run for the first time, so she ran for Williston, Northampton in high school for 4 years and held many records there. She is the second fastest U.S. sprinter to qualify for the U.S. Olympic trials in the 200 meters with a timing of 21.17. Thomas participated in athletics during her studies at Harvard University. She is has participated in 6 different events and won 22 titles. She has set world records in the 60 meters, 100 meters, and 200 meters. Norman Earl Hutchins, born September 27, 1962, is an American gospel musician. He started his solo music career in 1992 with the release of Norman Hutchins. It was released on Sparrow Records. He has released 10 albums to date over the course of a 21-year career. He's been on labels such as Sparrow, JDI, and now IR Records. 7 of his albums have charted the Billboard Gospel Albums chart. Norman Hutchins was born in the state of Delaware. He started preaching at the age of 8 while becoming ordained by the age of 12, and this allowed him to support his family. His mother had 11 children. The preaching earned him $100 per evening. He went on with his wife, the age of 19, to Delaware, Pennsylvania, and became a preacher at Hope Church of God in Christ. He would eventually settle in Los Angeles, but would have to take meager jobs until finally God led him to West Angeles Church of God in Christ to be their music minister. Later on, he felt the call over him to move back to Delaware and start Frontline Ministries. He holds a master's degree in biblical counseling and a doctorate in church administration. Some of his releases include the aforementioned Norman Hutchins, then in 1993, Don't Stop Praying, yet these both failed to chart and were the only 2 releases he did on Sparrow Records. He caught success when he joined the JDI Records crew in 1999. Then he released his 3rd album, Nobody But You. It was his Billboard Magazine chart debut release on the Gospel Albums chart. His subsequent albums with JDI include Battlefield in 1999, Emmanuel in 2001. The Sermon was released in 2002. He would then sign on to IR Records for the releases of Spontaneous Praise, Volume 1 in 2008. In 2009, God is Faithful, If You Didn't Know. Now You Know in 2011, and 2013's Hosanna, which all of them charted on the Gospel Albums chart. He has received 8 Dove Award nominations and 8 Stellar Award nominations, along with multiple Grammy nominations. Here's this week's top 10 gospel songs. Number 10, Juan Winans featuring Deborah Joy Winans with Never On My Own. Number 9, Elevation Worship and Maverick City Music, Gyra. 8, Jacalyn Carr, My Portion. 7, Joshua Rogers, Still Grown Trust. 6, Dawkins and Dawkins with Come By Here. 5, Byron Cage, You Are. Number 4, Tamela Mann, He Did It For Me. Pastor Mike has number 3 with Amazing. Number 2, Rudy Currents and Chrisette Michelle with No Greater Love. And our new number 1 song comes from Bishop E. Dewey Smith with Your Presence Is a Gift. Well, that's your top 10 songs and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor, reminding you to connect with me on all social media outlets. You can find my outlets on my website, msninataylor.com. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station.
Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your gospel news reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
Well, praise the Lord and good evening. God bless you, God bless you, and God bless you. Welcome tonight to the Pastor's Corner. We are elated to be with you and praying that all is well with you in the name of Jesus. I thank God that he has given us this opportunity to come together for the first Tuesday, excuse me, for the first for the first Thursday in the month of May of 2022. I'm Apostle Urban A. Whitlow, Jr. I'm looking for our host, Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, Jr., and praying that he will join in soon. But in the meantime, we are glad to be here. We want you to get your friend, get your neighbor, even get your dog Rover and tell them that the Pastor's Corner is on the air. Amen. Glory to God. And listen. I believe that we're going to talk about something really great because there's a lot of things that are going on and things that the Lord wants to show us, things that God wants to do for us. So I want to find out who's here with us tonight, and then we're going to go from there. Amen. So let me see. Let me start this way. Let me see if the man of God is here himself. I'm talking about Chief Apostle Vincent L. Smith. Are you here tonight, sir? Okay, I don't hear him at the moment. All right. Well, let's see who else is here. Let me see if the Quiet Storm is here. I'm talking about Pastor Anna Henderson. Are you here tonight, woman of God? Okay, so let me see if this other woman of God is here from the Atlanta, Georgia area. I'm talking about Apostle Felicia Plight. Are you here on this evening? Well, gosh, we doing something tonight, I'm trying to tell you. Well, I know who is here. I'm certain that this individual is here because she's the producer of this podcast and all the other podcasts that air on this particular radio station, that is Elation Radio. I'm talking about the one, the only, the lovely Dr. Kitty Robinson. Are you here tonight, woman of God? Will you say hello?
Yes, I am in the building. So far, is it you and I? Yeah.
Oh, well, it looks like it is just you and I, and sometimes it's like that, and sometimes we just have to take it and just run with it. Amen. Amen. So
Amen.
Tell you what, let's just have a good old-fashioned general conversation tonight about some of the things that we see that's going on and see where the Lord take us. How about that? That make any sense to you?
I am in. Yes.
You in? All right, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight, and we bless you for your goodness and your grace, your mercy, your love, your kindness. We give you all the glory and the honor because you have been better to us than we've been to ourselves, and we can't help but to give you all the praise right now. We pray that you would bless us tonight as we go forward in this podcast. We pray that, Father, you would speak to us, that somebody will hear your word and receive your insight, oh God, and that they will come closer to you, that they will know you better than they have ever known you before. God, we believe you for such great and mighty things because you are a great and mighty God. We thank you, we bless you, and we give you glory now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, listen, Dr. Kimmy, I want to talk to you a little bit because, you know, while there are a number of things that are going on, every state is different. You know, usually around this time of year, they have what is called primary elections as they are preparing for the general elections in the month of November. Have you noticed that everybody has something negative to say about the one who is in charge? Have you ever noticed that?
Oh,
they complain about everything
absolutely.
That they do. You know, and then what makes it even worse is that they will hold on to something that's a whole lot worse. I listen, you know, here in the state of Georgia, you know, we've got primary elections because there are people are getting ready to run for the governor's office. You got people running for mayor's office and so on. And I'm okay with that. I understand that. I have no problem with that. But I do have a problem with when people want to, if you will, criticize how things are being done because it's not being done the way that they think it should be done. And all they do is they find reason to complain about it. Have you noticed that?
Yes. Yes, I have. But unfortunately, that's the world that we live in. We call it like the sinful world. People tend to put each other down so they can make themselves as look better, as if they can do better things. So, yeah, it's interesting how people really believe that the only way to be successful, instead of looking at someone's record, they rather just use false advertising to promote their agenda and to make it seem as if they have a better solution.
Okay. To make it seem as if they have a better solution. Okay. I can understand that. But now, you know, here's what I want to get to. The worst part is the same thing is happening in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The body of Christ has been treated political arena. And so you have those who their mindset is, well, if I were a pastor or if I was the leader of the organization, I would do this way. I would do that way. And so what we have are people who are not genuine about their service. They're now looking for the opportunity to be better than the person who was around before.
in the body of Christ.
And
so my thing is, so if they're looking to be better than others, then why are they acting like they're actually serving God when they're really not?
Because that's another propaganda. Because it says, like, the first two commandments is to love God with all your heart, so am I. And the second one is to love your neighbor as if you love yourself. And if you love your neighbor as if you love yourself, you won't put people down. And so a lot of people are getting away from the commandments and looking at their own agenda. And unfortunately, that could be a Jezebel spirit. It could be a spirit where they want to be in control and they want to covet over someone else's ministry. You see that a lot. And it's kind of sad because, you know, God has given all of us something to do. And people think because if they become a pastor, they have, you know, they have a better solution. But sometimes if you aren't called to be what God has chosen you to become, you could be out of order. And sometimes people want that type of role for their hidden agenda, such as prosperity and money. And they're not really concerned about the word of God, because I've seen some people that say, I'm not making any money, so I'm going to close my church. Because your purpose is more so focused on making money and not God's purpose. And so with that being said, that's what you're finding in these churches. A lot of the churches are based on, you know, what they can gain, prosperity on earth, instead of what they can gain in heaven. So that is what I see when it comes to politics in the church. And we do have Bishop Elette.
Bishop Elette has made.
Everybody.
Well, the Lord bless you, sir. The Lord bless you.
Good to hear your voice, man. I ain't heard from you in a good little while.
Well, it ain't my fault that you always busy.
No, I mean, it ain't my fault that you always busy. I'm here. Where are we at? What are we talking about? I did not have sex with that woman. I just want to make all my statements clear. Go ahead.
That's what you say. Anyway, no. What we're talking about is, you know, the primary, we know these are primary election times in a lot of states. And we were talking about how, you know, you've got all these people who complain about what this one is doing and how this one is not doing a good job because it's not being done the way that they think it should be done. But then when you look at it, you've got the same thing going on within the realm of the body of Christ, where there are elections because people are trying to be the head, and they're trying to discredit one another and what one another does. And they want people to support what they think is right, even though it could be completely wrong. There's something wrong with that, but this is the time we're living in, even in this season.
Well, I will agree with that. The bottom line is this. Politics in the church has been going on for years. I recall I went to a quadrennial celebration for a CME church that I was once a part of. And, of course, checked into my room, the whole 20 yards. Happened to turn on the TV, and an advertisement for one of the first actually female bishop of the CME Church was being advertised. You know, elect. Her name is Teresa Snorton, beautiful woman of God. I just got to say that much. Of course, it doesn't change politics, but how'd you like to go into your hotel room and that's the first thing you see, somebody campaigning? Did I pay for this room for you to campaign? I don't think so. I paid for this room so I can lay down, relax, and enjoy myself, not so I can see your politics spread all across my TV. Now, had it been ESPN, I'd have had no complaint. No, in all sincerity, I understand. They paid for it. So since they paid for it, they basically just went on and did what they need to do. I thoroughly understand. When you're looking basically from, let's put it this way, when you're looking from the political perspective, the social perspective, the religious perspective, and then you got your certain groups, you know, your LGBTQ, you know who I'm talking about. I can't never say all them letters. The heck with all that. Anyway, the bottom line is everybody has an agenda, and everybody's willing to support the campaign that's going to support their agenda. That's the basis of this whole thing. Regardless of whether it's right or wrong, folk who are living foul, meaning they want to be homosexual, they want to be lesbian, they want to be a transvestite, they want to be a butch, a dyke, whatever that is. They're going to support somebody that's going to support their lifestyle and the way they live in the church. In the world, it doesn't matter, because unsaved or saved, you're going to vote for who you think is the best candidate. But when you're dealing with the church, we have to stop and think about, you know, and here's something I was just thinking about. Bishop Eric Garns had a book called Protocol, and in his book Protocol, he made mention of the fact that the majority of Americans usually will check the record of the candidate to see what kind of service they've offered over the past, you know, years, weeks, months, or however long it was. And what he made mention of makes the most sense to me. They want to ask the question, has this individual been in the military? The next question they want to ask is, was he honorably discharged or dishonorably discharged? If they've been dishonorably discharged, more than likely they're not going to vote for him, because if this is a dishonorable discharge, what's happening here is something happened that got them kicked out or illegally put out of service. So why am I going to put a guy in office who can't even serve his country properly? Now, on the flip side, we've had the Ronald Reagans, we've had the one prior to Biden, Trump, whatever you want to call him. We've had him. We've had a few. Arnold Schwarzenegger as governor out there in California. Jesse the Body up in Minnesota. Now Kane, the wrestler, is now mayor down in Nashville, Tennessee, of all places.
What?
But my point is, he is the mayor. The wrestler Kane is the mayor of Nashville, Tennessee.
Wow.
Yeah, but my point is, you know, if you've had a good performance, if I could use that word, and people appreciate what you've done, 90% chance you're going to get elected to whatever office it is that you're running for. In the body of Christ, it should be the same way, but here we are playing a much more dangerous game than the political or the social or the ethics world. We tend to see how much money can we throw in the area where people need it. In other words, Apostle Whitlow, you and your 5,000-member church, vote for me, and I'll make sure y'all get a new baptismal pool. You get the picture?
I do.
Yeah,
but
there's a lot of it.
But then my question becomes this. Should there be elections in the body of Christ?
There should be, and we can back that up on two or three different occasions. We've had in the Old Testament an election, but we've had also in the New Testament an election. So let's go with New Testament. When Judas decided to kill himself, they cast lots, or they held an election to see who would replace Judas. Matthias, I believe, was chosen in that casting of those lots. And if it's done properly, cleanly, go ahead, you were about to say?
So you're telling me that we should hold elections in the body of Christ, in the church of the living God?
I mean, there's one office that's five offices that are ascended to, but one office that's actually an election. And the office of the ascensions, you already know, are the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, teachers, whatever you want to call them. The one office that is an elected office, because it's a desired office, is that of the bishop. Believe it or not. That's the only office.
So in the church, you're saying it's okay to have an elected office.
It's really not okay, but where are we? In this day and age, literally, where are we?
So if it's not okay, then why are we doing it? Okay, so then who are we following? Are we following God or are we following man?
Well, here it is in a nutshell. God didn't want to give them a king, but they moaned and groaned, wenched and moaned, and they ended up with Saul. Am I right? Saul wasn't elected by man. Saul was selected by God. God elected David. David turned around and brought in Solomon. But Absalom tried to put his 10 cents in the bowl and try to push the envelope.
So wait a minute now. Wait a minute. God gave the people what they wanted, right?
Uh-huh.
So does that mean that God wanted something to continue? Because if it is to be that elected offices are supposed to be, then we need to stop with the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I'm going to tell you why.
Well, and that you don't need to tell me why, because we know those were not elected offices. Those were appointed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The only offices you do find that have any case for election, the apostles suggested that you elect or select deacons, and the office of the bishop. The overseer's office is in the same boat. But, I mean, the bottom line is, other than that, the original five, they're solid, sound, and set. The other three are an option, literally.
Well, I'm talking about this because there are local assemblies right now that are wondering, what do they do? Because elections in the body of Christ has also caused many local assemblies to split.
Uh-huh.
And,
I agree.
And with the split have come new denominations.
Uh-huh. I understand. And see, Apostle, you're not going to get a fight out of me on that. And the reason why you're not going to get a fight out of me on that is because even though you and I tend to think that it's foolishness to even have to go through that red tape, yet the mindset of mankind is and has always been exactly what it is. Their determination to do it their way, no matter what you think or how you feel. End of story. That's the way it's always been for as long as we could remember. We've got some, I'm trying to think how many denominations. I made mention of it before. 350 major categories. We got more than that.
I think, wait a minute, because I was looking at it the other day, and it really captured my attention. I want to see if I can still find it, because I thought, okay, so here it is. There are 85 denominations, 50 countries.
Those are the majors. Those are the majors.
Right. So you say 85 denominations in 50 countries, but there's yet one authority, which is the Word of God. But the thing is, and I have been sharing this, that denomination is really to divide the nation. Why?
Because that's really what it is.
So then with that, if it's divided, if we're a divided nation in the country and in the world, then why are we doing the same thing in the body of Christ? I was talking with someone, hold on, recently, and we were talking about ministry and how pastors, even of today, are no longer community-oriented. They're no longer concerned about bringing the community together. They're concerned about getting their few pennies together to live good, but they're not considering the community. And so, therefore, we have people who are, if you will, electing for people to be concerned about themselves instead of people coming together to pray for God's choice.
Uh-huh.
We should always have God's choice.
And, Apostle, listen, again, you can't get an argument out of me simply because of the fact that when you possess or if you desire the mindset of God, if you have the mind of Christ and hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart, I'm 1,000% willing to walk and work with you. But when you are in a position where you want your way, your agenda, and it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, you toss God to the side as if he never mattered. It's like, all right, let's throw something else out there. The individual that God has anointed and gifted to preach, I mean, they can preach. I mean, they can preach. My goodness. Every time they open their mouth, it seems like there's an anointing. Yet and still, mm-hmm. Samson being that better example that I'm about to give, they still have this desire to go and get a big butt, big-breasted woman with some beautiful lips, chocolate skin, the whole 20 yards, and want to lay up with her all night, even on Saturday, just before Sunday. Now, we recognize that the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. They can never be taken back because God does not remove a gift if he's given it to you. It is what it is. But now, mm-hmm. is it right for that individual to go and rustle up Sister Sally and bend her over and ride her like a racehorse and then come in Sunday morning and start yelping and screaming like, the, you know, all heaven and earth is going to pass away, so he's got to get this last word out? Is that right? It's the same principle. The mindset of mankind is determined to have its way regardless of what God thinks. And when God gets fed up, you read it yourself. Peter talked about it. Judgment will begin first with the house of the Lord. Now, for those individuals that are doing their own things, my heart goes out to you, because if you're still doing your own thing when Jesus comes back, shame on you. In hell, you will lift up your eyes. End of story. And I'm not talking about those who make mistakes and then the rapture takes place. There's a difference between a person who makes a mistake and supposedly the rapture takes place, and a person who was willfully, deliberately, purposely practicing sin as a way of life. There's a difference between the two. And that's what happens with the politics of the church. People know it's more wrong than two left shoes bent to the right, yet and still they practice.
So if we're so out of curiosity, since we're on this, if we are allowing the practice of politics in the church with elections, does that mean then the parishioners get to call the shots?
You would be amazed at some of the churches. Now, I'm going to show you three different denominations that are literally, and you know who they are, I'm about to say it, that are literally itinerant. Matter of fact, four, itinerant. Methodist, itinerant.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Baptist, itinerant. Southern
okay.
Baptist, itinerant. Assemblies mm-hmm. of God, itinerant. Meaning that you could have the same pastor for up to 10 to 12 years, and you might get a new pastor after the first year. When I was with the CME church that I was with, I went through three pastors, two bishops, and kept one presiding elder, two presiding elders, excuse me. The first one passed away, and the second one came in, and he's still there to this day. God bless him, does a great job, awesome man of God. First bishop that I was in passed away. The second bishop was there for a temporary fix until they got the actual bishop in place that's currently there at this particular time. So we have seen that. I've seen, you know, I mean, things happen. But what are we going to do about it? It is what it is. They're looking for what they call a fair and just system that would put what they call the right person in the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
But my first question is, did you talk to God about it? And you know what I get? And this is one thing, I'm going to say this up front, so whoever's listening and does come to my ordination, if you are an apostle, if you are a bishop, if you are an overseer, and you have not spent that Friday night at least in prayer and fasting, don't put your hands on me.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry. Don't touch me.
Uh-oh.
I'm being real about that. You ain't going to come in here and lay your empty hands on my anointed body.
Hmm.
Sorry about that. Yeah. Now you're saying, well, what brought that up? That's the problem right there. A lot of times you got empty hands on empty heads, and all you have is an empty result.
Empty hands.
That's it.
On,
and you have an
uh-huh.
empty result. An empty
okay.
meaning nothing happens.
Right.
Just sitting there going through the ritual, going through the motion, making all the noise that goes with it, and you're pretending like you are super spiritual, and all you is stupid. I mean, did I say that out loud? It's too late now, huh?
Or did you mean super, or did you mean steroids, stupid on steroids?
Yeah, what you said. Wow. But Dr. Kimmy Robinson, don't run away. Come back here and talk to us. What do you think about politics in the church? Why is you – don't get quiet. We ain't letting you be quiet no more.
Oh,
no.
My goodness. I'm listening to you guys. I'm not quiet.
No. All right. This conversation, you ain't listening. You're past listening, okay? We've been together seven years. And
No. I'm listening because you guys are on it. People are pimping. Like, I remember Michael Bayson used to pimps in the pulpit. At first,
there's a book out.
I didn't know what he meant at first, but I'm seeing more and more of that. And you're right. The church is not in the communities like they once were. It's more about how much. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Because it's not because people aren't really called. Because people aren't really called. They're sent. They're not.
Says, can I share something with you? Let's answer that question while we're on this. I'm trying to remember what city I was in. Waterbury, Connecticut, I was in. And I turned into a certain section of the city of Waterbury, Connecticut. Do you know in a 3-block radius there were 5 churches?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
In a 3-block radius, 5 churches.
And then the liquor store is right down the street.
And the Chinese restaurant is right next to that. And then a check cashing place somewhere in that community.
Yep.
And go ahead.
If that's in Waterbury, then you haven't seen what's in the Bronx. Because in the Bronx, New York, you have 8 churches on 1 block. And you go into each church and you'll probably find maybe 7 members in each.
If that many.
Okay.
So,
these are things that exist, and I just believe that they shouldn't exist. I believe that there should be a difference where God gets the glory. See, my thing is, if there is this election in the church, it moves God from being able to do what he wants to do. Because the only elect should be those who God has chosen as his people, not who we are choosing because of what we think should be. Come on here.
My God. Well, you know
because
what? I can agree with you, but at the same time, Apostle, I can disagree with you because when we pray, we do it properly and seek God's face. God will tell us who to put in office. And those individuals should end up in office if they're going to be. But then, there's – oh, God, and I'm trying to not go above or beyond where we are, because if I start throwing other stuff out there, we're going to find some things out. Here's the bottom line. I want to just throw this out there while we're on this podcast. Regardless of what you and I think, the end of the story goes like this. People are going to do what they're going to do, but everything that we do in life has a consequence. My question and challenge to those in charge, are you willing to face the consequence for the error of your ways?
Okay.
I got to ask that question. Are you ready to face the consequence for the error of your ways? And don't think you're not, because as sure as you're born, you are going to face it.
Well, there are people who are not threatened by consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be truthful. We're in a day and time where people don't care about consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So they will do what they will do, and they're comfortable because it's them doing what they do. So
it's
everybody, let's think about this. Let's think about when we were kids. We knew there were certain things that we were not supposed to do. And our parents warned us if we did certain things, what would happen? But you knew, even you know, I know that you did this because I know I did this. I would take the chance anyway just to see if I could still get away with stuff. So don't people still say?
Will they ever stop doing it?
My point.
Will they? Will they ever?
Or they won't. But the reason I'm talking about this is because we're in a day and time where the church has been suffering because they're doing something the scripture tells them not to do. The scripture says this word. It says, "And be not conformed to this world." So we are not supposed to conform to the social system.
Mm-hmm.
We're not supposed to do what they do.
I agree.
But this is what has been taking place. We've been that is what has been taking place. The church has become so conformed to what the world does that it's become extremely common to do it. And that's not what we're supposed to do.
You're right. And I mean, go ahead.
So if we're not supposed to conform to the world, then all of this stuff that we do concerning elections or politics in the church, it takes away from the move of God.
It takes away from the flow of the Spirit.
God never said, he didn't come and listen. He came into the sanctuary and said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, not a den of thieves." And what happens in elections?
Right.
We find out who the thieves are. Uh-oh. We find out who is sabotaging what. Come on here.
Uh-huh.
These are things that ought not be taking place. My thing is, we the church has become so political that we don't even know who's spiritual anymore. Talk to me. Come on. We don't even know who's spiritual anymore.
And a lot of people can't even spell spiritual, let alone B. You know what their idea is? Spiritual to some of these people is a state of emotion to where they've had what they call an out-of-body experience.
Mm-hmm.
And they think it's with God. They don't realize it can cause you to have an out-of-body experience. He can send you into a state of bliss to the point where you swear all up and down it was the Holy Spirit and there was nothing holy about what happened to you.
Right. Right.
But you just I said it earlier, but I'll say it again. I gotta say this. I don't hate to say it, I just hate to be so mean in saying what I'm about to say. What you call an out-of-body experience is probably a relapse from some hash that you smoked earlier that day. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
But
it's just, you know, I'm so laid back right now because I'm trying to talk to you and complete something that I started. I kind of knew my wife started calling me, and I'm like, let me get on this prayer line because – I got a wonderful wife. She had to make sure I made it because she figured I fell asleep. No, I didn't fall asleep. I was just trying to take care of business. But to come into this conversation, I had a conversation of this caliber just a couple of days ago. And it's an amazing thing. Possibly it might be one of those situations where it needs to be addressed. You're right. There are a myriad of local elections in various areas. The governor's chair is up for grab. Mayor's chairs are up for grab.
Yeah.
Senator's chairs.
Yeah.
I'm talking about state senators, people of that nature, aldermen, selectmen, judges, all these people. And what the general public is not paying attention to is they're campaigning to get your approval and to get your vote so they can continue to do their dirt. Many of you are not going to research any of these people. You're going to look at them, oh, he's cute or she's cute. I'll vote for them. If you're going to go on the outward appearance, then you're going to get messed up every time. Did not the scripture say God does not look on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart?
Right.
Think about that.
By us
chasing after what a – I mean, I'm sorry – you can be Bubba sexy, bubbling brown sugar with hips, lips, fingertips. Everything on you is curved just right, and when you walk, it all moves. I feel the earth moving under my feet just watching you. That's not the reason to vote for you.
Right.
What does your record say, you know? Where have you been? What have you done in the last, say, 3 or 4 years before you decided to run the office? What major difference did you make in a community? Who is it that you brought out of poverty or showed how to be resourceful and to go out and to find the needed and or necessary materials for the sustenance of the people? If you've got the answer that says none and no to all I just said, I don't care how good looking you are. You don't deserve to be in office. That's just me. That's just me.
But these are things that are going on. And again, the issue is that we are not supposed to copy what the world does.
No.
So it's amazing.
You're right.
It is amazing how influential the world has become in the church and how less influential the church has become in the world.
Apostle,
there was a time,
and
I don't know if you remember. Can I say this, sir?
Go ahead. Say what you're about to say.
There was a time when when a clergyman could walk into a courtroom and interrupt the court and tell the judge, hey, this is right, this is wrong. Now, they can't do that. Because they have lost their rapport. The church has lost its rapport because the church has lost its identity and reputation.
Well, not only that, we have clowns who go into court with suits on, collars on, in their civics. I heard tell story of a particular overseer, bishop, I don't know which one he was at the time, went into church with all his stuff on as a bishop, as if this judge is going to look at him and turn around and say, Your Honor, you know, Your Grace, so-and-so. No, no, you are in that judge's courtroom. That judge is the magistrate in that courtroom. Why are you putting on a circus-like show?
Uh-oh.
So everybody will know. And then you go into court, and you act like a total Dr. Kimmy Robinson, who else is on with us? To ask this before I say it. I'm going to say it anyway. Whoever's
on. There's a couple more people.
Okay. You go in.
I'm
very polite because I don't know who they are. They haven't identified themselves. You're welcome to join the conversation if you like. The bottom line is you go into this courtroom and act like a total butthole. And when I say a total butthole, go in there demanding rights that, A, number one, don't belong to you. You don't, you know, you got a piece of scripture to back up what you're trying to say. And when I say a piece, you know what the scripture says, but you don't know what the content or the foundation of where that context came from and what created that context to bring that content to the surface. You leave all that out. Go in there, act like a doggone circus clown, and now you want the doggone judge, the prosecutor, the stenographer, the jury, if there's one, and the people there to sit down and listen to your stupid behind. Get your butt up out of here. Go ahead. You about to say.
Now, wait a minute. I need to make an amendment to that because you said you talked about the butthole. But please do not leave out the ask hole.
You just had to go there.
No, no, I didn't say
that. No, no,
I
heard you ASK.
About,
you said ASK. Yeah, I got you. I know what you meant.
Because here's the ask hole. The ask hole is the one who will ask for your advice and still do something the butthole would do.
Yeah, be stupid about this. It's what it is they're about to do. You're 100% right. You know, I mean, you know, I'm trying not to be flustered. There are times, and I have to be candid and very transparent in what I'm about to say. There are times I wish I wasn't even in ministry. There are times I wish I wasn't even in ministry. Because a lot of people, there are people who are just a total embarrassment. And then you go somewhere and they do something stupid. Then they look at you. Aren't you a preacher? Yeah, but I ain't got nothing to do with that stupidness.
Come on.
You know,
come
on. I mean, there was a time, if you recall, when some of these Catholic priests were molesting little boys, and it was coming out to the surface, when we had well-known mega church pastors who were having sex with young men, and now they think every preacher is a pimp, as Sister Kimmy said earlier, a pimp in the pulpit. All we want is your money and your drawers. No. You know, I mean, there was a time I would have took the drawers. You can keep the money. But, oh, no, I'm being funny, but I'm being real. There was a time. But at right now, in the seriousness of life and in the seriousness of all that's going on, what's taking place, people having in the last 3 to 4 years, over 1 million-plus people have died from COVID and other related diseases. You know, it wasn't all COVID. Some of it was cancer, heart attack, bad nourishment that created a congested heart failure and things of this nature. All this happened in the last 2 or 3 years, and yet still we will not wake up and smell the coffee.
I think it's because many don't want to. Many want to maintain their excuses so that they have a reason to have a pity party.
And you know what? Whether it was sensual or intellectual, the Bible tells us that God gave them up to their reprobated mind. My brother, tonight we are going to cut this a little short because I still have some work to do. And if you want to continue on, that's up to you. But
no,
yours truly has to part
up. I was actually thinking the same thing, my brother. You know, I just wanted us to talk about that a little bit. You know,
we're going
to
come back
so
next week and talk some more.
We can do that. We can do that, you know. But I just think it's imperative that we – and let's title this, if you will, and you're in agreement, let's title this The Church Actually Being Different.
I can agree with that, and I'm going to throw it under the guy, so this is what we're doing.
Okay, come on.
I got to throw this, so this is what we're doing. Now we're taking a page out of the world, out of the world's way of dealing and doing things. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we can no longer think for ourselves. We need the ungodly to think for us. That's what we're saying when you really look at it. We're saying, in essence, those who don't know jack about Jesus, we want them to lead us and guide us, to help us to find our way. Yeah, okay, well, go on. You're going to find your way. You know what it says, when the blind leads the blind, what happens? They all fall in the ditch.
Come on.
So a lot of folk on their way. And see, and that'll preach. Are you on your way to the ditch too?
Well, yeah, Red, and while
you're on your way to the ditch too,
You got to look at the other thing too, right? Because you got a lot of folk who the Bible says they're on their way to hell because they're on Broadway.
Yep.
But we see that for another time.
We're going to get into it because all of it's going to wrap up and all of it's going to make sense as we get into it. But right now, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, thank you for holding it down for me. Apostle Whitlow, as always, love you, my brother. So good to hear your voice. But right now, we're going to ask you, Dr. Kimmy, to play that song. We're going to catch you guys next week. We're only cutting it short because we still have some work to do. And, I'm still working. And I got to get somebody to officially talk about my ordination because there is no reason under the sun for me to have to talk about my own ordination. I find that rather tragic. You know, I find the people who are supposed to be working with me more seem like they're working against me. Because, I mean, it's telling folk to do simple things.
Mm.
That's just my opinion. But it's telling folk to do simple things, okay? Something as simple as make an announcement, a phone call, and things like that. But that's okay. God sees every one of them and reward accordingly. So I'm not going to cry. Neither am I going to complain. I'm going to keep rejoicing. And on July 23rd of this year, we're going to look for the Lord to do whatever it is that he needs to do. And I'm going to leave it at that. That final say of benediction belongs to you, sir. I'm going to excuse myself. You can close it down. I greatly appreciate your presence. I appreciate you coming in. Thank you so much for being here. And as always, you guys, whatever you do, somebody's calling me. They know I'm doing this show. I don't understand folk. I just don't understand folk. You know I'm doing this show.
Yeah,
but they're still going to try to call me.
Yeah.
You know I'm
all
doing
right.
this show and you're still trying to call me.
We'll talk soon. Thank you, everyone, for joining the Pastor's Corner. We will resume next Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, right here on Elation Radio. I promise you it's going to be worth your time to join the discussion. Until then, go with God, and he will go with you. All right? Come on, Dr. Kenny Kim, drop that track. Good night. Shalom.